touchable emotions. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Absolute Philosopher. Touchable emotions. Now, an Absolute Philosopher would certainly not have touchable emotions. An Absolute Philosopher would certainly not have emotions. An Absolute Philosopher would not be touched in the slightest by the world about him, because the Absolute Philosopher would be 100% creating that world to be exactly what that philosopher wants the world to be. What do you want the world to be? What do you want your world to be? Do you want your world to be the world of the Absolute Philosopher? The world where every thought you think is brought forth into manifestation? Well, that is the case right now. Every thought we think is brought forth into manifestation. You say, well, I've been thinking good thoughts and they haven't come forth. Yes, they have. We have our thoughts brought forth more often than we realize. And it is only when we stop thinking those thoughts and start thinking other thoughts that then the thought that we were thinking about was coming forth and the other thought took precedence over it. Any thought that takes precedence over another thought is the thought that is dominant and the thought that is brought forth in our world. Now, when we have touchable emotions, it's when somebody in the world can say something to us and have it affect our thinking. If someone says, you're brilliant, and of course you are brilliant, and you know you're brilliant, and you think, oh, well, thank you very much. I need to hear that. Thank you. I know I'm brilliant, but it's nice to know that somebody else thinks that too. You have a touchable emotion. You have an emotion that can put you up or put you down. In other words, somebody can say, well, that wasn't a very intelligent thing to do. That was rather stupid, in fact. What you just did was probably the most outrageously stupid thing that I have seen done in the last 10 minutes. What's going on here? And you look at the person and you say, oops, what did I do? What, did I do something wrong? Well, now, if you're an absolute philosopher, if you're a master of yourself, if you're in charge of your thoughts, and a person says to you, that was stupid that you did, you'll say, hey, I'd sort of like to get your idea on what would be the best way to do it. What would be the best way for me to handle this? What would be the best way for me to look at this and go forth in this so that I can do it intelligently? Well, immediately, they change their attitude of telling you that you're dumb to telling you how they think you should do it more intelligently. Well, as you look at them, and as you see how they think it should be done more intelligently, then you look at all of life and you say, hey, it's a possibility. Yeah, that's a good thought. I'm always open to reveal more of my inner reality, more of my inner depth, more of my inner genius. And so when people say to me, that wasn't a very intelligent thing, rather than saying, oh, how could you dare say that about me? I'm a very intelligent person. I always do things right. Rather say, hey, that's a possibility. Let's look at that. Let's think about that. And when you get done, the other person realizes that indeed what you had done was a very intelligent thing, and what you had done was a very positive thing and a very beneficial thing. And rather than denigrating you and putting you down, rather than trying to cut you short or trip you or knock you off your pedestal, they are the first ones to build the pedestal under you even more firmly and more powerfully by the facts that they now know. When we have touchable emotions, we give away all of the power and the energy that we are. We give away all of the genius that we are. We give away all of the knowingness that we are. When we have touchable emotions, we are allowing the appearance world, which we have created too, the appearance world to guide our attitude and our world and our thinking and our being. And really, that cannot be. I have three little kittens. They're beautiful little kittens. They're just 7, 8 weeks old. They're very small yet. They're nice kittens, but each of them have a distinct personality. One is more timid and more gentle. One is a normal cat, you might say, doing everything in a very beautiful way, lovable, sensitive, caring in every way, and going forth and doing what it wants to do and not being touched by anybody else. And then another one that is dominant and that wants to control everything and control everybody and push everybody around and have everybody do what it wants them to do. Kind of an interesting thing. Kind of an interesting thing to see how that works. It's a fantastic world to look at. Now, he is the blonde one, and he seems to be rather dominant and rather demanding. But the one kitten is sort of sensitive and goes along with the blonde one and anything the blonde one wants to do, because the blonde one sort of is the boss, the alpha. But the one kitten does not let itself be disturbed in the slightest by anything that's going on. It just is being itself and having fun. It has untouchable emotions. You pick it up and you cuddle it and you caress it and you tell Miss Gray how wonderful she is and how beautiful she is and how sensitive she is, and Miss Gray just sort of purrs into your arms, and when you set her down, she goes about investigating whatever she wants to do. She goes about doing whatever she wants to do, a very independent, a very capable cat, and very able to do anything she wants to do. Now, the other cat, Kara, is a very subservient cat and does whatever Blondie wants her to do. And Blondie seems to be very much in charge. Well, now, I don't really like to have a cat like Blondie, who is manipulative and sort of controlling everything. And so little by little, I'm creating a new Blondie. I pick up Blondie, and I hold her in my arms, and I say, "You are a gentle, loving cat. You are a gentle, loving cat. You are a gentle, loving cat." Now, it's not immediately bringing response, but she is sort of mellowing a little bit to the gentle, loving cat attitude. And as she mellows to the gentle, loving cat attitude, she's leaving behind her dominance of wanting to be always in charge and wanting to always control. All the cats were, Miss Gray was having some tuna. And I had it there for all the cats, and there was room for them to all get their noses in there. Well, Kara sort of sidled in next to Miss Gray, and she took a couple of bites whenever Miss Gray had her face far enough away so Kara could get her head in there. But Blondie saw this and smelled this, and Blondie says, "Hey, there is only one person here, and that's me. Now the rest of you scram." And now nobody moved. Because Miss Gray was there and Kara was next to her, Miss Gray was just keeping her nose right in the food and very enjoyably going on with it. She didn't even know that there was any other cat in the world around her anywhere. And she just continued until she finished eating. And when she was finished eating, she hadn't cleaned the bowl, but when she was finished eating, she stretched and she went to the bathroom, and then she sort of crawled around and looked at things that might be interesting to do. Now, Kara had a chance to have the bowl all to herself, and she didn't take it. She backed away. And Blondie looked at the bowl and sniffed at it and sniffed at the beautiful smelling tuna, and she went away too, because she didn't get the full bowl, and she didn't get it first. She didn't want it at all. Now, how many of us are much like these cats? How many of us play the role of, "Oh, these three cats are pretty representative of our culture and of our world"? People who are just mellow and like themselves, and they always get enough, they always get more than enough, and they're always happy to have what they have, and everyone protects their right to have it, but they don't fight for it. They just go and enjoy it. Whereas Kara, she sort of is laid back, and she's sort of a subservient kitten, and she lets Blondie sort of direct her world, because Blondie is taking the dominant role. And Blondie herself is taking the dominant role, but she doesn't know how to be an alpha. She doesn't know how to be the master. She doesn't know how to do this. Well, they've been away from their mother a long time. They didn't have their mother's training. And perhaps if they'd had their mother's training, each one might have turned out just a little different, but not too much, because their personalities are their personalities. Their personalities are their personalities. Their personalities are their personalities. Can we change our personality? Oh, you bet we can. Can we put a new cause in motion for ourselves and our personality? Very easily. How do we go about putting a new cause in motion for our personality? How do we go about putting a new cause in motion for our attitude of life so that we can more harmoniously and more joyously live every moment of our life and every day of our life and every now of our life? How do we do it? Well, I think Miss Gray gives us a good example. She just lives in the now. Whatever she does with all her joy. She climbs into a box and she plays. And when others come in there, she plays with them. And when others crawl out, she still enjoys the box. Or she climbs out. Or she falls over the edge and she lays down on her back and she says, "This is an interesting feeling. This is an interesting..." Everything she does is done with her as the master and her as the light. She doesn't think of herself master in being better than anybody else. She doesn't think of herself as being more creative and more genius than anybody else or having more talent. She just is herself. When we are just ourselves, we are untouched by the attitudes of other people. We are untouched by how other people might press the buttons of emotion and try to get us to do something. Now, it's true I can hold Miss Gray in my arms and I can cuddle her and she'll purr and snuggle in and be perfectly happy. And it's true, at the moment I take Kara and put her in my arms, and she too cuddles in and snuggles very nicely. And Blondie, she will be in your arms as long as she chooses to be in your arms, and when she chooses to be out of your arms, she takes her claws and claws into your hand and says, "I'm leaving," and off she goes with such a vehemence and such a power that it makes her a very unpleasant cat to have in your arms. Now, you say, "Well, most cats are like Blondie. Most cats are like that, are independent. Most cats are..." No, they aren't. Most cats are loving, gentle cats. And they're cats. You say a cat comes around you and gets petted, and when it's got enough petting, it goes its way. Well, that's how we treat them. That's how we train them. That's what we expect of cats. But if you expect a cat to lay with you as you are taking a nap, it will. If you expect a cat to cuddle in your arms while you're reading a book, it will. If you expect a cat to warm your feet, it will. Whatever you expect a cat to do, it will do. And this is true for our emotions too. Whatever we expect our emotions to do, they will do. And if we expect that anybody else in this whole world, including ourselves, has the right to touch our emotions and make us feel good or bad or indifferent, then that's what happens. The world is in charge of touching our emotions. And if this is what we want, then that's what we give in to. Now, the cats are going to be trained. And I have them here in my house, and I will have them until they're ready to go off on their own, which is maybe 3 months. And so for another month and a half, I'll have these cats. They're a month and a half old, or seven weeks now. So as they're with me, even Blondie will acquiesce to my loving touch. Blondie will acquiesce to my gentleness and my firmness. And I will tell Blondie, "You like to stay in my arms. You like to be cuddled. You like to be held You like to have somebody care for you and make out over you. And the more I say that, the more I create Blondie experiencing that. Or is it the more I create myself experiencing that in all creatures who come to me? If I am the alpha, if I am the dominant one, if I put on the show and everyone follows my direction, then everyone will follow my direction. Really, what do I expect of the cats? Whatever I heard other people tell me about cats, or what I see the cats presently doing, is this what I expect? Do I expect the cats to be whatever appearances may be there? Or do I expect the cats to be their ideal self, their ideal beauty, their ideal glory? And the ideal glory may have nothing to do with a cat. It has only to do with my attitude, only to do with what I feel about life and what I feel about goodness. That's all. I'm in charge. I'm the master. I'm the creator of my world, and I'm the creator of everyone in my world. I'm the creator of every circumstance in my world, and I'm the creator of every experience in my world. And as I take this power, and as I take this awareness, and as I take this responsibility, then I experience everything that makes me happy, that makes me fulfilled, and that makes me feel good. We can do that, you know. Simple, beautiful, powerful, we can do that. And as we do that, we have magic taking place in our life in every wonderful, beautiful way. Have a lovely day, and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.